you're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, 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 and this is... Who's talking?
Talking Venezuelan. How you doing, Carlos?
Hey, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey. We are having a visitor today. Her name is Liz Hernandez. She's original from?
Caracas, Venezuela.
Venezuela. And since we are...
You were born in Los Teques, the capital city of
Mirandina.
Miranda State.
Donde nacieron los tequeños.
Los tequeños. that's another dish.
That's another delicious dish, David.
Tequeños. One day we're gonna bring it for you so you can taste it.
It's like sort of mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Something.
That's right. I didn't eat lunch because you were bringing out something.
Oh, not today. I'm sorry. Next time I'll bring you something. I'll treat you with something from Venezuela. So we were talking the week before. About Venezuelan food, folklore, music.
Yes, and we are in the Hispanic month, you know. It's on October 12th, 1492, David came to... He was part of the crew of Christopher Columbus, you know.
No, he wasn't part of that. Okay, so...
When Colum arrives to the shores of America... America discovered America in the way that they discovered especially a lot of different foods, a lot of different fruits, a lot of different things that they didn't know exist, like the avocado.
Avocado.
Tomatoes. Okay.
Potatoes.
The cocoa.
The cocoa, the chocolate.
And the main ingredient on the whole America was the corn. Exactly. But
so we were talking about tasting the arepas.
The process to produce arepas was very, very, very harsh. Not now, because now it's into a industrial process. But in the times of our grandparents, producing arepa was a very harsh thing. The Venezuelan arepa is different to the gorditas Mexicans or the Salvadorian pupusas, because the way they prepare the dough. Basically, the Mexicans, the Central American, using the molcajete, that's this kind of stone. Okay, and they grind the stone with lime, and that produces a different kind of dough. In Venezuela, we have a process different, because we were one of the first countries in Latin America to receive African slaves, and basically the African slaves came from a place in West Africa known as Yorubaland.
Yorubaland is actually
the countries of Togo, Benin, Nigeria, Niger, all the way to the Niger River. And these people is very special because they are animists, they are polytheists, and they were hunted by the Muslims as animals, and they took these people as prisoners, and they convert free people into slaves.
Okay? And they sold it to the colonists.
They sold it to
the Spaniards, the Portuguese,
the English. England had a lot of colonies in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, mm-hmm.
that they were
at Curaçao, but mm-hmm. they were there. That's Holland.
That's Holland, yeah.
Okay, but those who were the traders of the trader slave was that,
mm-hmm.
and they brought mm-hmm. with them a different technology. The different technology is the pylon. In West Africa, we have these people who used to grind
the corn.
Not only this thing is to grind the coffee.
The coffee. Mm-hmm.
Because coffee comes from Africa.
Uh-huh.
So they used to grind a piece of grain uh-huh. that must be ground, okay? Mm-hmm. And they use two or three people doing the same thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have here our mm-hmm. mulatto girls
from Venezuela. The same idea.
You know, it's a little bit different because it's...
You see, I learned that today. Thank mm-hmm. you, Carlos.
Okay,
I learned that today.
Our country is a country that is very harsh. Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful. Venezuela is very beautiful, but it's only 5 degrees above the equator. So the working conditions are very, very, very hard. It's not easy. So the people of the folks of the land, you know, mm-hmm. the countrymen, and countrywomen, they used to sing along. The man just to sing the cows in order to give more milk,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the ladies sing this kind of chants
mm-hmm.
in order to keep the rhythm on the pylon.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 boom. And instead of have this boom, 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 they chant. They sing. They sing something like this. Io, io, dale duro ese pilón. Io, io, que se rabe de romper. Io, io, que en el monte hay mucho palo y papá lo sabe hacer. Io, io, dale duele la cabeza. Io, io, de tanto dale el pilón. Para engordar un cochino y comprar un camisón. So they go with the rhythm.
And there
are two or three ladies with the piece of wood doing that. And after the corn loses their skin, they put that corn in water, and they boil the water, okay? And after that, they grind
it.
All mm-hmm. of the rest, and they produce the masa, okay?
The masa.
So it's a different process than the Indians used to have,
mm-hmm.
and the result is different also,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's a very hard-working procedure. Now we have an industrial kind of a flour.
The Mendozas.
Not really. I have the story of the arepa dough. Okay, and the process changed a lot. It became good for the industry of restaurants. So you are you came from Venezuela. When did you come to the United States?
Well, I didn't come direct from Venezuela because I live in Dominican Republic and Mexico for 3 years. So I came from Mexico.
You came from Mexico.
I went to Venezuela for a little bit and then I moved here
legally.
Yeah, I just came to visit.
Okay.
Yeah, because the idea was I was going to Spain because my dad is from Spain. But I just loved it so much. I started traveling all over in United States. And then I live in New Orleans and Asheville. And then I had a opportunity offer a job. And I just stayed here and
Georgia, the so good old Georgia.
You're taking some of the soul food of New Orleans and all the stuff with you, and you're mixing the
flavors,
the flavors from Venezuela to the South, deep South flavor. What's the name of your restaurant?
Arepa Mia.
Arepa Mia. So that means my arepa.
Mi arepa. Yeah. Mi arepa. There's a lot of meanings to that. Mi arepa means, you know, my heart. It means my roots, my memories as a childhood. It's my piece of land inside within me. Mm-hmm. Wherever I go, I always do arepas, and it's so versatile because you can do so many things with it. It can hold anything. I mean, when I was in New Orleans just visiting, because I did a cross-country trip with my brother that came from Tenerife, I visited my friend there. She was in, she lived in New Orleans, and I look at her and I say, I want to go because I love crayfish. And I said to her, I got to make you guys an arepa with crayfish. So I did it. It's on the pictures on Instagram, and they devoured that. He said, I never eaten something like that delicious. So he loved it.
Yeah,
they loved it. And I brought it back here. I brought up like 10 pounds of crayfish, and I made it for my customer here, and it was gone.
The deep South meets Venezuela.
Wonderful.
So,
well, if we are talking about the South, I've been part of the Southern Food Alliance. Like, I don't know if you know that. And it's basically all the chefs from the South, they are bringing the culture, mixing with the Southern cuisine. And I cook, I was invited for the Southern Food Alliance in Mississippi. And it's a very well-known, established, I don't know how to call it, but
group.
Basically, I would say the group, but it's John is the one, is basically they call it the grandfather of the Southern cuisine in all over the United States. So
it's a movement.
It's a movement, yes.
It's like the Nouvelle Cuisine France.
Yeah, and it's rescuing basically the roots from the South.
Mm-hmm.
And what the chef from other countries like me is bringing into the Southern food.
Okay, wonderful. We have to wait for a moment because time is up and we have to go to
a break.
If your health insurance premium is more than your mortgage, Ellen Deal with Ideal Solutions is here to help. Whether you're a small business owner, individual family, or baby boomer, email maga45cag@gmail.com and I'll respond with 3 easy questions to help you determine if you can get away from Obamacare. As a 20-year veteran of the insurance industry, I'm here to help with all your insurance needs. Email Ellen Deal at maga45cag@gmail.com.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Ron Camacho, host of the Business Hour, on Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. Join me as I talk with passionate professionals on a program that profiles the best businesses, business professionals, business practices, and fascinating individuals to get an insider view of how America works, 10 to 11 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we are here with Liz Hernandez. She's the owner of Arepa Mia. And we were talking about the arepa. It's basically the bread of the Venezuelan people.
Yes.
Okay. Instead to eat something with instead of eat bread with eat arepas.
It used to be only for the poor people. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. So explain me. Mm-hmm. What's the secret of the arepa?
I don't think it's any secret anymore. I think it's getting discovered for the world, you know?
Okay.
It was a secret 30 years ago, probably 40 years ago, because mm-hmm. it was within Colombia and Venezuela. And the secret to me is always using the best ingredient, freshest ingredient, and not, I think once you respect each ingredient as a whole, it's just going to make the best.
Wonderful. Arepa. Where are you located at?
I have two locations. I have one that is basically, I call it that, the Mama, because that's the first one. It's inside the Sweet Avenue Curve Market in downtown Atlanta. It's a market that it has a lot of history behind it, since okay. Martin Luther King, when segregation was happening. Mm-hmm. So it's almost 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Going to the market on a Saturday is a mix of what is really the southern cuisine, you know, what it used to be, because mm-hmm. you see the collard greens, you see the
macaroni and cheese.
No, you actually see the pigs that they sell. If you want to buy a whole pig, they sell it there. Uh-huh. They used mm-hmm. to, back in the day, in the 40s and the 50s, you can go and they used to sell the chickens live, and they will kill it for you and clean it for you.
Okay. Like Venezuela style.
Yeah.
Like in the old markets.
Like in the old markets.
Yeah, like old markets. So if you go to right now on a Saturday, it's really cool because somehow you feel like you're in a little market in Venezuela. A little different, of course, but you feel like...
You feel the hassle, like selling here, there, here, screaming here.
Yeah.
Screaming here.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and who are your best customers?
Well, I am within the city, so definitely, you know, the native, the Americans, of course, are mostly the one that is surrounded mm-hmm. the area where I'm at. There's not a huge Spanish community, mm-hmm. but I tell you that there is a lot of people from India love my cuisine.
Really?
Yes. People from India, people from now... Ethiopia are coming in a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're looking for something, you know, healthy, vegetarian, and I do a lot of that. You know, in general, everybody,
I met in 1973 in New York City.
Yeah.
Haile Selassie. He was the last emperor of Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Where I was walking with my father, and he went to the United Nations, and I met him, and he said, "Hey, how are you?" I said, "Wow."
Yeah.
Okay, because I knew who he was, okay? He was the last emperor. He had to fight against Mussolini in the 30s.
Nice.
And he was a book of histories, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you said, "Ethiopians like Venezuelan cuisine," mm-hmm. whoa, you, woof, mm-hmm. you electrify me. So, mm-hmm. what's your best seller?
The best seller. Mm-hmm. Well, people now are discovering the cachapa, but it's another dish. But in between the arepas, I create a sifrina, a gringa sifrina.
Gringa sifrina?
I love that.
Okay. Gringa sifrina. Can you translate the gringa sifrina?
Yeah, so let's go back a little bit of history on the sifrina. So the sifrina basically is the reina pepiada.
Okay.
Which reina means queen. Pepiada means something that's really good looking, mm-hmm. hot, you know, awesome.
Yeah, I explained in the last program, I explained the origin of the Reina Pepiada.
Yeah, it's an arepa with a chicken breast mixed with tons of avocado and a little bit of cilantro. Uh-huh. Some people put it, you know, little peas on it, you know, onions at the end. So that is the original.
It was in honor of this lady, Susana Green,
that we chose.
Yeah, the first of Miss World.
Unfortunately, passed away, yeah.
Yes.
So... that it was created as, so and they added the queso amarillo. So that's mm-hmm. the sifrina in Venezuela.
Okay.
So since I was here, I knew based on culture and what really people here in America likes. Especially the girls who were coming in, can I add lettuce, can I add tomatoes, can I add cheese, you know, kind of like Sifrina. Sifrina means a snobby. So I created, okay, let's do this. So I did the chicken breast. So it has Guayanese cheese, avocados, lettuce, tomatoes, sauce that I create in a trip to Peru, which is sweet corn sauce, ají amarillo, and cilantro sauce.
Wow.
That's the number one.
Wow, that's the number one. So mm-hmm. I have to go. Yeah. Goodbye, diet.
Yeah, that's the number one. And then there comes the second one, you know, the asado negro, which is inspired in the dish from Caracas with a black roast and usually served cut in pieces, slices. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one that you fried with sugar, isn't it?
Right, yeah. You kind of powder coat it with the brown sugar and the wine, so it gets really dark. Mm-hmm. But because it's easier to eat an arepa, and I cook my meat for it's grass-fed beef, so it's coming from one of the best farms here in Georgia, which is White Oak Pasture. So the beef, since it's grass-fed, it's a little tougher. Uh-huh. So I cook my meat for like 14, 16 hours, so it's nice and tender.
Yes, because when mm-hmm. you put that meat in there, it needs to be
tender,
soft.
Easier to eat. So it's already kind of pulled apart and shredded.
Wow.
But the flavor is there.
No, we need to go. We need to go,
we
David.
Need to go.
We need to go. We need to go. We have to
go. Close the changarro. Let's go.
You can share us the address on the radio.
The address is very, it's very easy. If you go to Decatur, it's the city of Avondale Estates. Mm. And the address is 10 North Clarendon Avenue. Southeast in Avondale State, Georgia, and is the zip code is 3002, and the phone number is 404-600-3509, and it's easy. You can Google Arepa Mia Avondale Estates or Arepa Mia Atlanta. Those are the two locations.
Good. Yeah. Good. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Spell it.
Arepa Mia. Arepa Mia spelled as a as an apple. R as in rose, E as an elephant, P as in Peter, A as in apple, separate Mia, M as in mom, I as in indigo, and A as apple.
And this is gluten-free, right?
Yeah,
That's very important.
Yeah, the restaurant actually is being named second in between Canada and United States as one of the best places to eat safely because I don't use any kind of gluten, nut, soy, or any kind of or nuts. In the restaurant, so it's safe for people that have celiac.
So the only nuts has to come from outside.
Outside,
and eat over there.
Yeah. I got a lot of complaints because I don't have the tequeños, but unfortunately, I cannot do something that could cause a cross contamination.
Oh, I
because
understand.
The gluten.
The Venezuelans eat many frijoles.
Frijoles, caraotas, yes.
Oh, of course, black beans.
Yeah, the black beans are usually the most popular. So we did lentils.
And we eat the black beans with sugar.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it's
but if you go
incredible.
To Instagram, you'll see better pictures.
You're okay? Okay. Right?
Because this is going to be an update.
We eat the black beans with sugar.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
If you're from Caracas, that's where you're going to eat at my place. Because the black beans, I use the organic, and it has a little hint of sweetness, but it's because I use papelón.
Papelón is the
dehydrated sugar cane.
Dehydrated sugar cane.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. Goodbye diet.
Yeah, we made a drink with dehydrated sugar cane called papelón con limón, which is basically like our sweet tea in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you prepare chicha?
Yeah, I do that as a special because I always do a lot of specials.
Can you explain a little bit what a chicha is?
Yeah, chicha. Well, there is a lot of different meanings for chicha if you go from Peru and different places. But the chicha in Venezuela is basically a rice drink, thick. It's very thick with a lot of ice and usually a lot of condensed milk. And it has cinnamon. So it's a great refreshment summer all year round. It's like a meal, basically, in a big cup. And you can see it in Caracas. They sell you now for like a gallon or 2 gallons.
Yeah.
A lot
now,
of ice.
Now you understand. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
This is what I miss about Venezuela. Like
banana. Banana domino.
Uh-huh. that you know, fill up with plantain, beans, cheese, or beef.
You just mentioned the Guyanese cheese.
Yes.
Where did you find that?
I bring that one from Miami. Miami, you know, they have pretty much everything. Well, a lot of cheeses are produced in Miami, the small ones, and then they also Wisconsin, because it's a big, you know, place where they do cheeses.
Okay, well, and the Guyanese cheese, can you explain a little bit, describe it?
Oh, yeah, the Guyanese cheese, a lot of people always come and say, where I can get this cheese? And they say, well, it's difficult because I bring it from Miami. But the closest that you can compare is basically like a mozzarella de búfala, búfala mozzarella.
Okay.
Minus just a little hint of acidity. And a little saltier than mozzarella de búfala. Because the búfala mozzarella is kind of bland, you know, and you have to add it, you know, good extra virgin olive oil and black pepper and little salt and brings out the flavor. But the Guayanese cheese, a little butter inside an arepa, no need any salt because it's already salty, but it has that softness. So, I mean, in Miami, they do a pretty good work.
Yeah,
I think it's good.
It's good.
You never gonna see it like the one in Venezuela, but you know
it's close enough.
Yeah. Okay. And how do you see the future of your business? You just explained me outside that the Venezuelan cuisine is like every traveling cuisine in the world that is evolutioning. So explain me a little bit about that. Idea
of the arepa.
Yes.
What I see, you know, to be honest, I haven't never looked arepa meal where this is gonna go. Anything, I just go with the flow. You know, and now when I look back, I see, you know, how arepa meal has a huge change through the years. It's almost 10 years now.
Has evolved, right?
Yeah, it has, you know, tremendously, you know. And now with that, also, you know, any type of cuisine through the years has, you know, evolved so much. And, you know, if you go to look to Spain, look at the molecular gastronomy has done such a tremendous, you know, work among all of the chefs around the world. And including Venezuelans. We just recently have a restaurant in Washington, D.C. called Seven Spaces, and Limardo, he's the one, the Venezuelan, and it was named one of the best restaurants, number one in Washington, D.C. But he works a little bit of that modern, you know, molecular gastronomy, but he also brings a lot of all Latin America. With arepa mía is I've gone, you know, like in Spain and New York to assist to those places and known those chefs like Ferran Adrià, which is the father of the molecular gastronomy. But it's not, I learned from it, but it's not something that I'm going to do in my restaurant.
I understand.
Because I feel like, to me, I still want to have a food that kind of fill me, and it's messy, and but it's really delicious
like
and comforting.
Like the comfort food here, like
right,
the,
right.
Like the
but
New Orleans
healthy
style.
In a good way. Yeah.
Okay.
So what I do in my restaurant, which they probably separate from others, is that my first thing that I didn't want to negotiate was using the best local farms in the city.
I see.
That's generating a lot of business.
Yes. Are you getting more and more Caucasians in, or more Americans in, or native? Well, when I say native Atlanta, nobody's native here hardly.
Yeah,
like
Americans, mostly tons of them. Yeah, those are my main
customers.
Yeah, they definitely love arepa mía.
Yeah, and the black population.
Yeah, tons of them.
How spicy is the restaurant?
It's very mixed.
How spicy is the Venezuelan food?
None. It just depends. If you like it spicy, we do make really good. If you go to the Oriente del País, which is the west of, I mean, the east of the country, because it's close to all the Caribbean, you can have a little more heat. So they made some hot sauces, which is where my mother is from. And as a matter of fact, I do make one sauce which is inspired on her recipe, and hot sauce called habanero sauce. And that will make you cry.
Habanero, I know. Okay.
But that one, you put one like one little drip in an empanada or in a cachapa and arepa. It's so delicious because it's so floral forward, you know, and it has that
especially
sweet flavor.
Also, the people of the Andes has a lot of
with the milk they make.
Yes.
And you know that special pepper that is coming just from Venezuela. You know that little small one like this, that colorful yellow.
Ají dulce.
Ají dulce. That's the sweet.
The ají dulce has a very special place in my heart because last year I went to Venezuela and my mom handed to me some seeds that she got from a really good vendor, and I just actually grow that in my home, and I have 6 plants right now, and I as of now I made a special with ají dulce, and people loved it. So it's basically ají dulce is almost like a habanero minus the heat. So it has that very intense flavor, very floral in the front. And it's almost, I can call it, you know, basically like a mini red bell pepper on steroid.
Those are so delicious.
It's so awesome.
And some of them are sweet, some of them are picoso, you know.
Yeah, they're very colorful. I have a picture I'll show you. They get green, yellow, red.
I think she got a picture here. One second.
Yeah.
Here in the Instagram.
In the Instagram. And you can pick them green and they start changing to orange, yellow.
I think when we finish the first hour, I'm going to eat.
You should. You like it.
You see those one here. You see how colorful they are?
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
You see?
So... So how do you see your industry?
It's definitely gonna grow. I want it to grow, make it so much easier for me. Okay. A lot of people say, "Are you afraid for competition?" And I'm not. I think once you're a chef and you stay truthful for what you do and you love what you do and you make something really good, you know, people always gonna come to you. But there's always thousands of types of burgers, thousands of types of pizza places, and they are doing well. It just depends, you know, your type of sazon cuisine, and if you're doing something really, really good from your heart, that's
not
really.
And this marriage with the Sounder Cuisine, how it goes?
The what?
This marriage with the Sounder
Cuisine. Oh, it's doing great because, you know, arepas, if we're talking about the South, known the South, they call it sometimes like hotcakes, you know?
Yes, they call it hotcakes.
Crispy, you know? So it's crispy outside, really moist inside, plus it's stuffed with something. It's just magic.
Yeah, it's like a grits.
You know, like, so the grits and the arepas are that flavor the Southerner love, you know? It's ingrained in your veins. You definitely love that.
How large crowds can you handle? Do you have a separate dining room if somebody wanted to throw a party and have 10 or 12 or 20 people, 30 people or whatever?
Yeah, we always receive big parties. We don't have a separate dining room, but we kind of put it a little isolated, you know, kind of separate from the other chairs, so we kind of try accommodate the big parties.
Okay, we've talked. Avondale Estates, and there's a second location?
Yeah, the second location is the one inside the Sweet Avon Curve Market, and that one is inside, it's a stall within the market. So we have like a two huge table, but you can see it anywhere inside the market. Now, the restaurant where it open lunch and dinner is the one in Avondale Estates. And that one is different menu because the kitchen is bigger, the restaurant is bigger, so it allows us to make different dishes also.
So you just come around 285 and get off at where it says Avondale Estate?
Avondale Estate, which I believe is 41, exit 41 from 285. Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay.
Oh, I see you have dessert too, like lechosa, dulce lechosa.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the sweets.
Wait a second. Do you deliver?
What is that?
Do you deliver? Or Hub Grub or whatever it is?
Yeah, we don't deliver it, but if you can use, you know, like some private company. We have nothing to do with them, that you call them, and they can deliver my food through Postmate, DoorDash. Yeah, and the only way that I deliver is when I do big caterings, because we do cater for offices and companies. Yeah.
Okay.
And couldn't even bring us a snack.
And wait until we begin to talk about desserts. But that happens after the break.
That's true. We need to do that. We've got a few minutes.
Okay, so I see here that you have the dessert, like a dulce lechosa.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, green papaya dessert.
You have also the arroz
con leche.
Con leche, rice and milk.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I see that in here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the different kinds of arepas. They look beautiful and they look delicious. And then you have some fruits in here, you know.
Figs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also I see that you have cachapas and empanadas.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a good variety of Venezuelan food.
It's pretty complete, yeah.
It's very interesting. I am not too fanatic with the Venezuelan food because I was married for many years with another man from another culture. So I learned to cook that culture, but then I put aside a little bit my Venezuelan food. But now that I'm seeing this, I say, okay, I think I need to go back to my roots.
Yeah, one thing I guess we'll cover, I'm sure you're going to, I can tell you're going to cover it at some point, is desserts.
Desserts.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the desserts. Yeah, I see that you have here the rice with milk,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that has like canela?
Cinnamon.
With a stick of cinnamon in there,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we have the...
That's the most... Which one, this dessert, is one that you sell the most in your...
Well, right now we have an empanada made with cream cheese and guava.
That's good.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very popular.
Yeah, okay.
We also made, I made the dulce de leche, which is, I'm sorry, the rice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You might say, you said leche, which I know is milk.
Milk, yeah.
Yes.
So basically it's a rice pudding, kind of like a rice pudding, but I have a fig tree in my house, and I make like a marmalade with a fig, so I mix the two of them, and it's so good. I have also the green papaya dessert. I made arepitas dulce, which is with the anise seed. You know the anise, that little spice? Basically, you mix that in the dough with a little bit of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is when I do green papaya dessert, I save the syrup and I drizzle those arepitas dulce with the green papaya syrup.
So you made mandocas too?
Uh-huh.
Mandocas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's the dough with plantain, right?
Mm-hmm.
With
and
banana.
Queso de año.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's almost like a, in the Mexican food, what am I trying to say? The dessert in Mexican food with the sopapilla type thing.
I love the sopapilla. Kind of, but the mandoca is basically kind of like a fritter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the shape of kind of like a ring, kind of oval, and it's from the region of Maracaibo, and it's mixed the plantain with a little bit of cornmeal, tons of ripe plantain. It has to be really ripe, the yellow plantain.
You brought up something interesting in that, you know, like in the U.S. we have southern cooking, we have northern cooking, we have whatever and whatever. What? So in Venezuela, do they have regional cooking as well?
Of course, yeah. Every country has the region. So we have the region, Oriental region, which is all the Maracaibo, and then you have also the Andes region, which is a different type of cuisine because it's in the kind of mountain cuisine.
And the plains is different.
Yeah. And
okay,
then on the
let
plains.
Me ask you, as a service, and I want to get some people listening to the show today, and listening to our rebroadcast and to the podcast and so forth. So if I came in as a, I'm a Texan. I can find Venezuela on a map, but that's about the extent of my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I come in and I look at your menu and I say, "Hello, what is this?" So are you gonna help me? Will you provide the service of coming to a table of Texans and saying, "Well, I recommend this, I recommend that, you might like to try this."
Every day we do that.
Okay. Do you do like a tapas or anything like that?
No, we do a lot of specials, you know, tons of different specials that change, you know, weekly basis. But every The service at the restaurant is very casual. You come to the counter, and we basically explain the menu to you. There is always a lot of people that grab the menu and they say, this is Chinese for me. So the first thing that we always ask them, you know, what are you looking for? You like to, are you vegetarian? Are you chicken, beef? And then we go from that. That's the easiest way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In your cooking, do you all do any, what would be the similar to barbecuing?
Yeah, yes. We've done that. Yeah, tons of them. Yeah, parrilla.
Yeah.
Parrilla, yeah.
What about the cabrito?
Cabrito?
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you
barbecued goat?
That's yeah, in the Falcon State you have cabrito.
Falcon and Maracaibo, some part of Maracaibo, they do also goat. There is goat, a dish, yes. Yeah. They call
it's
it. Yeah.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Very sweet taste.
But
yeah.
For example, I explained you in the last program about the plains, the llanos in Venezuela.
How was that goes
from that goes from Colombia all the way to the east side of the country. It's a very high plain, and basically that people what they eat is meat. Mm-hmm. So you have meat.
A lot of
it's barbecue, but we
like
name it
Texas
carne
style.
Carne en vara. That means that you put the mm-hmm. meat on a piece of wood, and you prepare with the fire
open fire
on that thing, and it's whoa.
It's very similar to
what
that.
Are we doing here?
Yeah, it's very similar, like the plains in Venezuela, yes. Very similar, like Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, you know, a lot of cows, you
Texas.
Know.
Texas, they
do eat a lot of meat.
Okay, mm-hmm. and they ride horses a lot.
I'm sorry, you
know,
what?
They ride horses a lot, you know, they love to ride, they have... huge rivers on that.
But you don't have the big saddle horns.
Okay, but we have in the high plains in Venezuela, we have that's llanero.
Llaneros.
But the thing that do we have in Venezuela is caribes. Caribes mm-hmm. de piraña, mm-hmm. the fish. So that's one of the dangers of the place in Venezuela.
Instead mm-hmm. of roping like a cowboy does, mm-hmm. you all have a deal with like balls or whatever on the end.
No, that's in South America. Mexico? That's in Argentina and uh-huh. Uruguay. We are very similar to the American cowboys in that matter. The techniques are more
how to tie up
they are more near of the Americans cowboys than including the Mexican people, the charros, because the techniques are very similar and I will explain you why. Okay, well. They told me that
if your health insurance premium is more than your mortgage, Ellen Deal with Ideal Solutions is here to help. Whether you're a small business owner, individual family, or baby boomer, email maga45cag@gmail.com and I'll respond with 3 easy questions to help you determine if you can get away from Obamacare. As a 20-year veteran of the insurance industry, I'm here to help with all your insurance needs. Email Ellen Deal at maga45cag@gmail.com.
Quick Steaks, that's Q-U-I-K Steaks, are not just for surveyors. They are great for family and community gardens. Go online to www.quicksteak.com or contact your local land surveying supply dealer and get you a box of Quick Steaks. You'll love them every year when you plant your garden. Again, that's Quick Steaks, Q-U-I-K Steaks, the truly preferred way to stake and identify what's in your garden now.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're here talking in Venezuela.
Talking Venezuela.
Talking
yeah,
Venezuela.
I'm hungry. So are we going to talk about news today now?
What news?
Any kind of news for Venezuela? Or let's keep talking about food.
It's your program, baby. It's your program.
Any news or anything
about...
Well,
remember what happens to me this week?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Well, this happened to Carlos this week. He tweeted like a year and a half ago a tweet to the President Trump, saying, President Trump, you need to be careful with McKinley, especially his wife, because they are sabotaging. Basically, that's what he's selling. You know, they're sabotaging your administration, la-la-la-la-la-la. Okay, so Monday, he received a call from somebody...
At the university in Austin, Texas.
The Austin University asking him that...
University
telling him,
Texas.
Yeah,
yes,
telling him that there is people calling this lady who works in there, and she have direct connection with the Senate and the White House, asking her who is this Carlos Fletcher is. Because this lady, she wrote an article about McKinney, the advisor of Pompeo.
Mm-hmm. He's the whistleblower.
Being the whistleblower and giving these people the history of what McKinney is and how he helped out to put, like, Colombians' guerrilla in power in Colombia. Mm-hmm. How did he facilitate the meeting in Cuba in trying to normalize these guerrilla people, you know, normalize to in a political arena. And then now Colombia is in the verge of going back to
guerrilla
back again, because these people, no matter if you give them power political ways, they will never be satisfied. So they're going back again to the same to the same things that they were doing before.
And the thing what happens with you at the Conjures when the Mr. Thornton
I mean, it's a lot of things going on this week. And then let me finish with Carlos.
Uh-huh.
And then being his name in the Senate, everybody's asking who is this Carlos Fletcher. And then the White House, how come a Venezuelan is telling the president a year and a half ago, be careful with this person. And then on Friday, that person who is advisor to Pompeo, who is McKinley, he quit. He quit, and then this week, yesterday, he was in the close inquiring with the Democrats, trying to find out how they're going to impeach the president. And then he's going, you know, he's now as a citizen, he's going and saying things. And then the curious part here is that these people from the Senate are to say, how come we are here in Washington, we are here in the Senate, we don't know who is working in the administration, and this somebody called Carlos Fletcher, who's in Georgia, he knows more, he got more information about what's going on in here than we that we are here in the Senate. So,
tell him to listen to America's Web Radio.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
You
and
got
that's
it.
That's why we're here.
That's
no,
why
no.
we're here, because believe it or not, this McKinley also, his advice to the administration in concerning to Venezuela crisis, it was not the best advice that Trump should have to deal with Venezuela.
It was an ill advice.
It was an ill advice.
Okay.
Because regardless that the president offered the opposition, hey, if you need my intervention, I am here. But the way that they work it out with McKinley and the other one who left, Bolton, you know, and then Pompeo, President Trump is realizing that he's been wasting not only time with Venezuela, which they need a lot of help. You know, they need their freedom, but also they've been wasting more than $20
million. $253 million.
Okay, right there. More. They've been wasting that money, because every time these people from Venezuela come and collect money, they are thinking they're going to, this time that we're going to help out to let Maduro go, you know, to get rid of him. And they end up doing the opposite. You know, and then Venezuelan people are suffering, and then Venezuela, the regular Venezuelan population are asking for freedom. They are asking for libertad. They are asking for Maduro to leave. They are asking, but if the political leadership are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, when the president of the United States are backing them up, and then having these advisors here giving him the wrong advice. So it's and wasting of our taxpayer money because I am a citizen.
They are not accountable.
They are wasting our money because they're coming here, taking the money and go back over there. Okay? And they don't do nothing productive with the money. They are just traveling. And if you know, on Monday night, Stalin Gonzalez, the second vice president of the National Assembly, he came to Washington, and then he went to New York, and they caught him in a live video on TV. He wanted to be hidden from the camera. The camera just shoot him, and everybody knew that he was in a stadium. Professional game while he's here supposedly pleading for help from Venezuela, but he's enjoying time in the stadium where the tickets are very expensive, where, having
those VIP
does Venezuela
beach.
Have a comparable saying to living high on the hog? Have you ever heard that? Living high on the hog?
Yeah. Unfortunately, they are not the accountability, not also to the zero accountability.
Zero accountability. Okay. So what happened is we, the United States, me as a citizen, I'm talking as a citizen now, right? Because I pay a lot of taxes. I pay taxes in property when you work and everything. Okay, we as American, by contributing with our taxes to the federal government, and then the federal government have their budget. We're going to assign so much money to this country, We are enabling these people, to take advantage of our money, take that money. We're not talking about thousands. We're talking about millions, okay? Millions and millions. Take them with them. They take the money to over there, and we don't even know what they're doing with the money. But we still pay for that. Mm-hmm. We still pay for that. And then what's going on here?
Jessica,
and that
the thing is, it's not just Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
It's many other countries.
It's other countries.
We're just throwing money.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And then the sarcastic situation in this situation is that regardless of the United States helping a lot of countries like Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Venezuela, and countries in Africa, right? They are ungrateful to the United States. They always saying, United States, get out from here. We don't want you here. Get out from here, Yankees. The Middle East says, kill America. Let's destroy America.
They come over here and they said, the United Slaves of America.
The United Slaves of America, not the United States. Because they have to follow rules. We follow the rules here. They are not so used to. They are not used to follow rules. So they see us, the citizens, as we are a slave of the law. Mm. But this is the great thing about United States. United States is a great country because we follow the rules. We follow the law. We uphold the Constitution. We uphold the Bill of Rights. And that is what is make United States what it is. And that's why America is great. That's why America is powerful. And then every time any country from down south Mexico, Middle East, Europe, Africa, they need any kind of help, who do you think they're going to call? Who do you think they call?
No Ghostbusters.
No, they don't call Ghostbusters. No, they call United States of America. So,
unfortunately, the United States has a policy that, and it's sad because it's wrong, is that, if you've got a problem, we'll just throw some money at it.
Yeah.
we'll send you a couple of $1 billion.
Oh, and they will continue create problems, so they can continue having money. Like, for example, that Stalin and the other one, the guy who came from Chile, I can't remember
his name, Pizarro.
He says, we need a permanent humanitarian aid. They are not talking about temporarily humanitarian help. They want permanent. So basically, you remember back in those days in 86, Africa, the Ethiopia, that we, United States, did a concert and we sent
USA
a lot of aid.
USA for Africa.
USA for Africa, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they want the same concept for Venezuela. Instead of they talking about freedom, about upholding the laws, about bringing capitalism, the mentality of being independent from the government.
Mm-hmm.
No, they want United States piggy bank continues continue paying the disaster that they create. So what they do, this is what I see. They create a problem like the frontier, the border with Colombia. They create that problem. A lot of people left Venezuela and they invade other countries like Colombia, Peru, whatever. Okay, they rest a little bit. You know, they help them out, United States. And then now they create another problem. Yo. So every time, like David mostly say, the problem with USA, every time they have a problem, okay, we give you money. Of course, it's like a child, 5 years old child told her that they know that every time that he's going to throw a tantrum, he's going to have the attention that he wants. He's going to have exactly what he's looking for. That's what our countries are doing. You know, the countries are doing to the United States.
And it goes into another thing that is in right now with the Venezuelans, that is the TPS for Venezuelan people.
Oh, yeah, the temporarily protection for Venezuelan. I did my research, right? And my research shows the only way that the United States can approve a TPS, a temporary protection status for a country is because that country is going through two requirements. One is a civil war, or the other one is a natural disaster. And sadly, the opposition, so-called opposition in Venezuela, every time they have some kind of problem, they are calling for elections. So when you have elections in a country, that shows that you don't have no civil war. Okay? And the other part is, Venezuela is not having like a natural disaster. No, there is a lot of people being killed during the weekend. Bueno, Baltimore too. You know, well, you know, Baltimore have a lot of people. In Chicago, there's a lot of people being killed over the weekend. Here in United States, there is a lot of countries in Africa that are going through the same thing, but we don't provide TPS for them. So,
because it's not a war between two facts, right? Two factions.
Yeah. So, so they are promoting the Venezuelan leadership here in United States are promoting the TPS. It's wrong. It's not gonna pass because the accordingly to the laws and the constitution and all this is not going to pass because it's already being challenged in court. It's already being challenged in court. So Venezuela are wasting a lot of money.
In something that
is not going to go ahead. And they're investing their money.
I'm going to break in here and remind everybody that this is like a football team going out on the field and warming up, okay? So God knows what's going to happen in the next hour when you all start speaking Spanish. I can't understand it.
I'll be a translator.
You're too young, but there used to be things called wind-up clocks, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we do with Kat and Josie. We wind them up in the first hour, and then I've got the earplugs for the second hour when they go into Spanish. And if I get kicked off the air, I get kicked off the air for what, you know?
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody that in about a minute and a half that we'll go from English to Spanish, and I want you to promote this lovely lady's restaurant in Spanish.
Of course.
Up one side and down the other.
I have anxiety. You know, after this, I have to go to your restaurant.
I think we should call a bus and just take everybody.
Yeah.
But anyway, it has been delightful.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're going to translate for me, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that way I will tell you, trust me, there are no fighting.
Okay.
But it is interesting, and we love them, and this show is doing very, very well because there's no other show on the air like it. And Josie and Kat, by the way, what's this lady running for?
Oh, I am running for Congressional District Number 4 in Georgia.
Thank you.
I am challenging. I am challenging Hank Johnson. So let's see how Hank Johnson.
You don't have to worry about Hank and that he's gonna fall off his island and drown anyway. Okay, we're gonna be back with the second half, the Spanish version of Let's Talk Venezuelan right after this.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.